Blog Talk Radio.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Danny?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. What's going on, man?
Oh, not much. Making sure I did everything the right way.
It's okay. Well, thank you for calling into the show. I'm Bozilla, Stephen Bubble, if you will. I would like to hear your story. Anything you need to talk about, anything we can help you with, just come on in and let me know what you need to know. What's going on? All
right. Well, let's start with the story first, because that's always the most depressing thing and the hardest to get out of the way. So, as some people may not realize, like, I'm running for Congress in Ohio's 15th district, and, like, I'm no career politician, I'm not a lawyer, I'm just the kind of like the average person. I was raised by my grandparents from the time I was 4 days old. They helped take care of me, and then I tried to take care of them before they passed, and while doing all that, I was working two jobs, working a restaurant in the morning, a factory at night, going to school, all at the same time. And it became very burdensome. And I moved down here to Columbus to try to find one job that paid the same amount as two, so that way I could try to have a life. It took a while to find. When I first moved here to Columbus, I was homeless for a little bit, lived in my car, slept on people's couches, went back to sleeping in the car. I do not recommend it. then I did end up getting back to having two jobs again. But at this point, my grandmother was getting up there, and it was just her now. So on my days off, I drove from Columbus to my hometown to try to help take care of her, and I was still working two jobs, which is a very big burden, especially when it's a two-hour drive and you're trying to do everything you can to maintain a life for you, but you're also trying to make sure you're maintaining them at the same time. Muddled around with the idea of running for public office myself back in 2016, I volunteered for the Clinton campaign, and I actually got to meet Secretary Clinton and other members of the staff and bounce around ideas and talk about different subjects that I felt weren't being fully addressed. And it takes a lot of courage when you're telling a former first lady that you don't think she's being bold enough. But my grandmother kept bringing it on to me of, well, one of these days you need to do it yourself. And I'm like, maybe. Because you know how family are. Sometimes they want to encourage you into something that you know you probably can't do. But eventually got to the point of, I'm like, okay. I started thinking of it seriously, drafting what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. We carried on that conversation. I told her I was going to run in the 2020 race, and later on that day I found out that she had a stroke, and she passed away a couple weeks later. So after I made that promise to her, I kind of put the wheels in motion of, okay, how would I go about doing this? Because I'm working a full-time job. Most people that run for office have either been in the state house for decades, been a mayor, or a governor of some kind, or they're a lawyer. And I'm just your average Joe. I work in a call center 40 hours a week, and I pick up extra hours by driving for Uber and Lyft to try to cover my bills. Because $38,000 a year. Once you break down how much rent is in Columbus, your student loan payment, car
right.
payment, car insurance, cost of groceries and utilities, you're in the red before you even get to utilities every month.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with you.
Yeah, so that's why I'm in it, and I'm kind of the oddball scenario of it, because there's, like, if you look back at our history, all of our founding fathers were farmers. A couple of them were lawyers, but they were self-taught lawyers. Now all of a sudden you have about 90% of members of Congress are lawyers. They're millionaires. A couple of them are billionaires. It's not representing the average people anymore.
That's the problem. And that's the problem.
Yeah. We have, to the best of my knowledge, there's one senator that used to be a farmer. He's from, like, North Dakota, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who used to be, like, a waitress and a bartender before she was elected. And other than them two, everyone else has been in politics for almost their entire lives.
Right.
So I'm trying to change that gimmick.
You know what? And that's what we need in this country. We need someone like that. That's the problem of the country, is that there's too many big business inside the White House, inside the government, all the government facilities. We need somebody who knows the average person. And right now, like you said, with all the stuff you've been through, sleeping in your car, working for Lyft, and all that type of stuff, you would never hear someone in politics that's big name politics will be saying that. But you know what? The average man,
nope.
The average guy can relate to you on that.
Yep. And that's what I found out since I've been campaigning. Like, I go down to Athens, and they're like, well, we had no idea anybody was running. And I'm talking to them, like, what I've gone through, and they'll be like, huh. So you know what it's like to have to stretch Social Security, because my grandparents had Social Security, how to worry about that, how to worry about keeping food on the table, because there's a lot of factories
mm-hmm.
that no longer exist in these areas anymore. And, like, they
nope.
have to work fast food, and that's not enough to be able to take care of their families. So, and that's also surprising, where I've had a lot of Republicans join in on my side, too, where out of me and my primary challenger, I have the most progressive platform, but I have more Republicans coming and approaching to me asking how they can help, and that they want to learn more about what I want to do to try to help them. Because I'm not looking at people as Democrats, Republicans, Independents. I'm looking at you for you. Like,
that's good.
If we're just looking at people as their party affiliation, we're not going to listen to what their issue is. We're just going to think, oh,
okay.
It's just a Republican problem. Well, putting
right.
food on the table, paying a medical bill, that's an American problem, not a Republican or Democrat problem.
Yes, that's right.
Because, like, Congressman Stivers, he only listens to one group of people, the people that can pay the most to see him, or
mm-hmm.
the Republican voter, and no one else.
You know what, and it's sad because there's a lot of people here, mine included. I'm a Democrat, but really I'm more independent now than anything else. I'm not who's going to run them during this country the right way, who's going to be the right person for the job. I don't care about who Trump talks about, really and truly don't care about any of the other politicians talking about. I just need to hear whether that one person is going to be able to relate to me. And because right now, what you're talking about is what they need to talk about, is because that does relate to me, because I have been homeless before. Thank God one of my friends let me crash at her place, and that is a place, that's the reason why I have so much respect for people who have gone through things like that, because now I know I've never been that way before until, you know, this last year. So I respect people who go through it. I respect the homeless and stuff like that, because I tell people that all the time, you never know when you're going to have one incident happened to change your life forever. And I agree with you 100%, man. That's the reason why this country is in the way it is. Nobody wants to take time to listen to the average person.
Exactly. Because, like, even with, like, health care, everyone thinks
right.
Affordable Care Act is the way to go. And then you have a group that believe Medicare for All is the way to go, which I do support Medicare for All. And I had a Republican family invite me into their home, and we looked over their medical bills. So the husband has insurance through his work, and they said that they could not have his wife on their insurance with him and the kids because she was deemed uninsurable. So she had to get her own insurance, which was significantly higher than what his was. Then when they got the bills for things, they made no sense. Even with my own bills, like medical bills, they don't make much sense either. Because you'll get one paper that says this is not a bill with a dollar amount on it. Then a couple months later, you receive a bill that's an actual bill with the exact same amount on it that told you it was not a bill. These things are complicated. Then there's also where the hospital's covered under the insurance, but the doctor in the hospital is not.
Right. Right.
So we were talking about how this can go on where you have coverage, but you're too afraid to use the coverage because all the information doesn't make sense. Then when you call the insurance companies, they can't tell you what coverage you have and what you don't have. Like, take a mental health. Say that they do offer some type of mental health coverage, but when they give you the phone numbers for the doctors in your area, half the phone numbers don't exist, or they're not even to actual clinics. Have you ever heard of a show called The Patriot Act?
Yes, I have.
It's on Netflix. They did an episode about mental health, and they had called Blue Cross and Blue Shield and asked for a list of all mental health facilities that are covered under their insurance. And they called just selected random phone numbers. So they found one clinic within 600 miles of a patient. Then the next phone number that they had called was actually to a McDonald's. So insurance companies can do these kinds of wacky things, and it's okay, but we have people that actually need this type of treatment, and they don't know where to go because of this type of behavior. Then when
we're looking at
the cost of care, if we go with the Medicare for All system, right now, under my current medical plan, I would have to pay, if I went to a doctor twice a year, a $50 deductible, $50 copay for when I see the doctor. I have my $1,750 deductible. Then I would have to pay whatever's left over. Then I have all my taxes that I pay for health care out of my paycheck. It comes up to about $5,000. Then if we had a Medicare for All system, that I would be saving roughly $2,400 a year. That's about 3 months worth of rent or 4 car payments. But that's an extra boost to your paycheck. And plus, if your taxes only end up going up by $75 because of Medicare for All, but yet you're seeing a boost in your of $2,400 or more, I'm not going to complain about an extra tax of $75 at that point, considering how much I had already been paying for health insurance that really was costing me more than what I was actually getting.
I agree with you. I do.
So,
I understand what you did.
So these are things that I've been looking at. I've been talking to voters.
What's going on,
it's been making a lot of sense to people when you actually break it down that way. Because right now, a lot of people think Medicare for All is government-run healthcare, but the Medicare for All system is separate than what Medicare is for, like, our senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So those two different systems, but nobody seems to be talking about that.
That's so true, man. That's so true, man. And that's the thing that they hold people up with, man, because if you think about it, the mental health aspect, that right now, that's a big thing. Like I said, what I do, like I told you before, I do the stop the pipeline, kids going into prison through the prison pipeline. That's the thing that needs to be talked about. But the mental health aspect, because a lot of the kids are under the age of 18, that are going to adult prison don't have the medical aspect to get medical checkups, and they have to wait till they go to jail. And when you go to jail, you're not going to get the best. A lot of these kids don't really understand what they've done wrong, and that's how they get caught up, because they don't know. But that's what we need to talk about. That's what I talk about to everybody I talk to. But right now, what you're telling me is exactly how I feel about a lot of stuff, man. Because there's no good way to put it. It's just backwards. The system is crazy. There's so much stuff that needs to be done. And like you said, they don't relate to people that need the help. They don't relate to us. You right now, out of everybody I've talked to, and I've talked to a few, I was just in Columbus at the Capitol building, and the people I talked to there, they're like, they're lost in the sauce. You're the first person I talked to, actually have talked to, and that know what the people in this country is talking about, the people who are not rich or big business or stuff like that. You're coming from a place where, like you said, you work two jobs, you took care of your mother, you're sleeping in a car, stuff like that. That's the everyday Joe's life. And we can relate to people like that because you understand us.
Yep. And that's one thing I've tried to differentiate myself between Congressman Stivers and also my mm-hmm. Democratic. My primary challenger is an attorney. And he's been touting the fact that he's an attorney and, like, where he lives. And I'm like, well, there has to be more to you than just that.
Mm-hmm.
Because all we keep hearing from politicians is, I'm a lawyer, I've done this, I've done that, and so on and so forth. But there hasn't been much of, okay, but who are you? Where did you come
right.
from? How are you going to take what you've been through and apply it to try to help people? And that's what I've been working hard to try to do, because there's so many, there's more things that make us similar than what make us different. And
mm-hmm.
where I grew up, it was a very red Republican area. But yet, we were able to talk to people and get people to see eye to eye on things. So, I guess it's just the way I was raised and, like, who raised me on how to talk to people and actually be caring to people. And because, like, I've done some pretty awesome things in my short time here. Like, I've met Arnold Schwarzenegger, I've met Hillary Clinton, I've met Governor Strickland and all these other politicians, and gone to movie sets and all these things. But it's not, I just kind of view it as I was lucky enough to be in the right place at the right time. Or even to be considered to go to some of these things because of where I came from. And I'm like, why would someone like Elizabeth Warren call me and ask me to come to a speech, or someone like Hillary Clinton even think about calling me and asking me to be a campaign staffer? And at that point, I'm like, I didn't really have much interest in politics, but I still took the opportunity because, like, as a former First Lady, former Secretary of State,
that chance is probably never going to come again.
Exactly. It wouldn't. You're right.
And, like,
and
those things kind of make you a better person, because then you get to interact with different people that see things differently or know things that you may not know.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And like I said, use that as a stepping stone to get your name out there. These are people that Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton. You're right. Your name. I was in her camp. And so these are things that people will see. I saw your picture with Elizabeth Warren. I said, you know what? That's what we're talking about, because she's just not gonna call somebody in just to bullcrap with you. So I really believe that you know what you're talking about, and I do agree with almost all the stuff you've told me today. And like I said, there's names that people need to be shared, and I'm definitely gonna share your name out there with all the people that I know, and you. So I'm definitely gonna people that tune in my show. I'm definitely push your thing, because you need to be heard, and you're sitting on the right stuff that needs to be told. I tell my friend here, I tell her all the time, her son has autism, and she knows that she has to go through a lot of stuff to get medical stuff for him, and it's like jumping hoops to get stuff and seeing doctors, and that's not right. This child didn't ask to be born with autism. These are what people need to understand. But they say they don't have nothing to say until it ends up with their family or somebody they love.
Yeah, and that's the hard thing, too, is when it comes to, women's health care, mm-hmm. some people, when you say women's health care, people think of, oh, it's abortion, and you're like, no, there's more to it than just that.
Right. You're right.
I'm like, if you're going to just go after, like, there is a reason why Roe versus Wade happened and why abortion is legal, because we have women dying from doing back alley abortions.
That's right.
Okay. And then you have to explain to people, I'm like, okay, these might be the reasons why something like this might have to come up. And I'm like, these are things you probably will never have to think about, or you'll never have to go through yourself. But there's other people that mm-hmm. have to go through the exact same thing. Like, they're going to need that option at some point, along with, like, prenatal care, birth control, other medical options that a guy is normally not going to go through. So I'm like, men
right.
need to stop women's health care, because we don't have the same anatomy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't go through the same things they go through. Let them make their own personal decisions. And, like,
that's true.
It wasn't the 1970s. A man would have to give a woman permission to open a bank account or get a credit card. So we need to get rid of this mentality that that it's taboo for women to have the same type of health care coverage, or to have the same type of health care options, or be paid the same amount as a man, is being like taboo or something extremely radical when it's not. It's just common sense stuff.
Yes, it is. It's common sense stuff. But you know what? That's the whole point. That's what you just said. It's common sense stuff. But how many people have common sense? And that's what. And you just hit it right on the nail on the head with that. That's what people need to understand, especially with the women. The stuff right there. It's not abortion. It's like medical stuff for women. There's things that women do that we can't do. Just like you said, I can't go in and I don't need a pap smear. You know what I'm saying? There's things that we can't do, and that's what men. I need men to stay out. Stay out the bedroom of a woman. Get out the bedroom. Understand, this is women. Women have their rights now. Let it go. Let it go. Let them do what they need to do, because who birthed you into this? Who birthed you in this world? A woman. That's who birthed you in this world. Who birthed Jesus in this world? A woman. So there you go. Stop it. And people need to wake up and smell roses and quit trying to smell everything else that doesn't smell good.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot going on, and you also have, like, read yesterday where the homeless rate in Columbus has gone up by 20%. Then we have gentrification that's happening in Columbus too, where they're paying families to move out of certain neighborhoods and they redevelop it. Then all of a sudden,
yep,
an apartment they had that was like $500 a month is now $1,250 a month, and they can no longer afford it. And I'm like, I'm all for like cleaning an area up and like redeveloping to make it look nicer, but it should not come at the expense of destroying someone's home and making it so they can no longer live where they've always lived.
And they're going to
or
be right. That's right.
Move to the, another area of town where they're now paying high dollar taxes for a majority white school while their kids are being sent over to the rundown school, and it's not even in the same district. Those things are not, don't seem fair to me. They don't, they sound very Jim Crow-ish. And like that's the way it's. And
hey,
I'm like,
you
how in the
truth,
world?
Man, you're still telling the truth.
Huh?
Still telling the truth. Telling the truth, man. Well, man, we got like 2 minutes left before then my show's done. Anything else you want to say real quick, Danny? Anything you want to say real quick before we go for the time?
Well, I want to thank you for giving me a chance to speak. And if any of your viewers are interested, they can always check out my campaign website, DanielKilgoreForOhio.com, to read more about some of the things that I would like to do in Washington and also kind of get a better idea of like the core values of my campaign. And also they'll be able to donate as well.
That's good. I'll tell you what, man, if you send that to my page on Facebook, I will post it on my Patreon. I will post all over my little sites I have on here, and I will definitely endorse you on those type of things, man, because we need people like you in office.
Well, thank you.
No problem, sir. No problem, man. But like I said, I got like a minute left, man, and I want to thank you for coming on, and I will definitely be in contact with you more. Maybe we can do another show and let me know how everything's going on with you before the election next one happens, and we can talk about it.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
No problem. So thank you for coming on, sir.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
I want to thank everybody who tuned in today to listen to that show. Like I said, I will have his stuff put up on the site. And please, you need to take a look at this as a man who, like I said, he doesn't come from a political family. He's not a big name. He's not Trump. He's not a Bush. He's not Obama. He's somebody who is under the things that the common Joe is, not persons that's people like me. Who's on Social Security, works, it doesn't work every day, on Social Security, trying to make things happen. So once you guys do, please check him out. I got to get going. Thank you for tuning into the Bozilla Show. I'll be back soon. Much love. Peace out.